The National Rifle Association's annual meeting kicks off today in Indianapolis. Among the speakers are former President Donald Trump, former Vice President Mike Pence, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will join on video. This comes as many states in the country are making changes to their gun laws. And for an update, we have Daryl Miller on the line, law professor at Duke University, and he's co-director of the Duke Center for Firearms Law. Daryl Miller, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The NRA has often met after mass shootings, 2018 after Parkland in Florida, 2022 after Uvalde, and here we are today. In general, how do NRA leaders talk about mass shootings that happen, you know, very soon before their event?
The response usually follows a pattern, which is, you know, thoughts and prayers, thanks to first responders, and then typically a pivot to something like mental health or some other kinds of issues. Typically, they avoid talking about guns at all in the wake of a mass shooting.
So as we watch this convention, let's talk about state laws. Last year, there was a big Supreme Court ruling throwing out a New York state law restricting concealed weapons. How has that ruling spurred changes in other states?
Right. Well, that was a pretty significant case. The case called New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And it injected an incredible amount of uncertainty about the constitutionality of not only proposals for gun regulation, but existing gun regulation. Now, what's happened in the states is they have essentially used Bruin either to expand gun rights, typically in red states, or blue states have read the Bruin decision fairly narrowly to go just to the issues of concealed carry and not other issues like bans on assault rifles or bans on minors having guns or other kinds of regulations.
I see. So kind of spurred different states to move in different directions, I guess, depending on their politics.
Bruin, in some ways, unsettled the legal landscape, but the political landscape is still pretty fairly dominated by red states and blue states. There was a moment in time after Uvalde when the federal government got in the gun regulation business after a long, long time not doing so. But that moment, it seems to have passed, and now you can pretty much predict which direction gun legislation will go by whether there is a unified Republican or Democratic control of the state.
What has been happening in general in red states as far as patterns to expand gun rights?
Yeah, I think the most significant is what's known as permitless carry, or to the advocates, they call it constitutional carry. And that's the idea that you don't need a license at all. You don't even need any training in many circumstances to carry a gun on your person for purposes of self-defense.
I've read about what are sometimes called Second Amendment sanctuary laws, where local jurisdictions or states, say law enforcement, is banned from enforcing federal restrictions. Are many states trying to do that now?
Yeah, some states and localities have tried that, but the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution means federal law is supreme. So to the extent that these sanctuary bills attempt to, quote unquote, nullify federal law in their jurisdiction, that's a non-starter. But there's also a countervailing doctrine called the non-commandeering doctrine, which means that the federal government can't make local law enforcement enforce federal law. And so what this does is it creates a lot of friction between federal and state law enforcement and makes it more difficult for federal law enforcement because oftentimes they really require the assistance and help of local law enforcement agencies.
Are we seeing blue states passing laws in one direction, red states passing in the other direction, which means, you know, if you cross from one state into the other, your reality could be very different?
Yes, that's true. And that's actually one aspect of what's known as federalism, which is that states get to make their own priorities on major issues, including guns. The problem, of course, is that guns can travel over state lines and people with both good and ill intent can cross over state lines, and that sometimes requires the federal government to get involved and make a nationwide standard.
Daryl Miller is law professor at Duke University, and he's co-director of the Duke Center for Firearms Law. Daryl Miller, thanks very much.
Thank you.